welcome people who are listening via the web and thank Otis and Chris and everybody else who does the technical work to make these webcasts possible. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 board members on right now, as well as our executive director and our parliamentarian. But I think we should wait another moment just to see if any. But does anybody know if anybody else is joining the call for sure? Do we know for sure if Teresa, George, have you spoken to Teresa?
I have not. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Or Charles?
Not either. I'm sorry.
And Rob, have you heard from any of the Washington people? Or James, have you heard from any of the Washington people?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I talked to Teresa yesterday.
Yeah.
And she indicated that she was going to be on the call.
Okay.
And I guess I've spoken to several people that have talked to Jabari and Marion and other people.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that they're going to join the call, but I haven't been able to reach everybody personally.
All right. Well, let me introduce our new parliamentarian. And other folks, I can introduce them to them later. Dr. Eli Merchant, who is here in New York City and actually is here at my office with me. So should I need to consult with him, we can actually do this
in person.
Real way. Yes, not in a virtual way. He's a professional parliamentarian and is officially registered and accredited with both the American Institute of Parliamentarians and the National Association of Parliamentarians. So I think he certainly has the credentials to serve in this capacity. Hopefully, we won't need him. Hopefully, everything will go smoothly. But he's here. Should we have any any issues about the running of the meeting?
Is he going to be in place in the future, or is Ted going to be back?
No. I asked Ted to step aside. And to not serve in this capacity anymore. So either Dr. Merchant or some other parliamentarians will be working with us in the future.
Well, I tried that a long time ago. Obviously, you got a lot of power.
Oh yeah, I noticed. Okay, did somebody else join?
Yeah, Pete's back on the call.
Pete's back on the call. Okay, well, I have George, Pete, James, David, Ray, Rob, Carol, and myself, Leslie, and Dan. Is anybody else on the call? Did I miss anybody?
Did David get off?
He's not on now.
Yeah, he said he was going to get off as soon as he got to his office and get back on.
Okay, so we should at least wait for him to get back on. Hey, well, we should talk about something while we're waiting. Here we have this webcast going on. We should.
David's back.
Oh, good, David. David, you just missed. I introduced our new parliamentarian, Dr. Eli Merchant. He's a professional parliamentarian and registered and accredited with both the American Institute of Parliamentarians and the National Association of Parliamentarians.
What's up, Doc?
He's on the call. He's with me here in New York. Well, folks, I have 9 minutes after the hour. What's the collective wisdom here? Should we begin, or do people want to wait another moment or two?
No matter how long we wait, people are going to come in while we're in train. So
I would say 10 minutes is a pretty good window.
Yeah. So I think we should begin, and we have a quorum. As we know. So just to remind everybody and for those people who are listening on the webcast, this is a special meeting convened by when I sent the notice out a week ago. And as stated in the notice of this meeting, the purpose of the meeting is to establish a time frame for the process of nominating candidates and electing local station boards. And I know that Carol had sent an initial...
This is Teresa. Sorry for the delay.
Oh, hi, Teresa. Welcome aboard. We're just getting started. I was reminding people of the purpose of the meeting and the fact that Carol had sent an initial proposal or a text for a resolution, a motion, And then the other day sent an amendment or a modified version of that. First of all, I just want to make sure, did everybody get that?
Why don't I read it?
Yes. No, I'm going to ask, what we're going to do here is I'm going to ask Carol to read her motion, then Steve has second, and then take any clarifying questions, and then have, you know, the normal discussion, pro, con, you know, back and forth, and see, you know, see where we are. So, Carol, do you want to read the motion?
Okay. This is, I move the following. Resolved that the Interim Board of Directors of the Pacifica Foundation establishes the following nomination and election time frame for transition elections. 1. Nomination of delegates shall open on September 10th and close on November 10th, 2003. 2. Ballots and candidates' written statements shall be mailed to the members on December 9th. 3. To be counted, completed ballots must be received by the election supervisors no later than December 29th. 4. The ballot shall be counted and the results certified by the election supervisor no later than January 5th, 2004. 5. The newly elected delegates for each station area shall meet to elect foundation directors on January 10th, 2004. 6. The newly elected Pacifica directors shall be seated at the first meeting of the new national board on the weekend of January 30th through February 1st, 2004. And I'm adding a seventh paragraph that I have not sent to you all. It reads as follows. 7. If a local delegate election fails to achieve a quorum of votes by the election close date of December 29th, the close date for that station area only shall be extended for 1 week to January 5, 2004. The ballot shall be counted and the election results for that station area shall be certified by January 12th, and the newly elected delegates for that station area shall meet to elect foundation directors on January 17th, 2004. Is there
okay.
a second?
Carol, I'm sorry, just, okay, yeah, is there a second on this?
Yeah, this is Pete, I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. Carol,
Leslie, this is Rob, I'm sorry, I've got somebody at the door, I've got to run and come right back, I'm sorry.
Okay, Carol, I just want to know if you can, I don't know if you can do this or not while you're on the phone, can you email this out to us right now?
With the seventh paragraph added?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The seventh. Okay, that would be helpful. At least those people who can access it.
She might want to email all seven.
That's what I'll do.
Okay.
I'll cut and paste the seventh paragraph into the...
And send the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, first, I just wanted to ask if there were... well, first, Carol, I want to give you an opportunity to motivate the motion.
Leslie?
Yes?
Can I ask Carol to send it to me at hotmail.com?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, great. So, Carol, can you just motivate the motion, then we'll take any clarifying questions, and then we'll move to the discussion.
I just had a question.
The motion is based on the requirement of the bylaws that the interim board set an elections time frame for the transition elections, and that the time frame can be different from that set in the bylaws for normal elections, because obviously we're not in a normal year and couldn't open the nominations on July 25th. I actually got some feedback from some of the election supervisors and adjusted and modified the motion. What it does is it sets the record date for eligibility to vote at October 25th. That's according to the bylaws, you're eligible to vote if you were a member of record 45 days before the ballots are mailed. That's important because by October 25th, in October, our stations will be holding their fund drives, and so the people who, new members who join in October will be eligible to vote. and I thought that was persuasive. So I calculated to achieve that. It gives us a 48-day campaign period from the close of nominations on November 11th through the close of the balloting period on December 29th. That's 4 days shorter than, or 2 days shorter than is in a normal year, which would be 50 days. But we're doing pretty well to give people enough time to hold candidate forums and on-air discussions and meet the candidates nights and so forth. So I think there will be enough time for people to meet and evaluate the candidates. The 60 days for recruiting candidates, the nomination period, is essential. We know from the experience of two elections at KPFA that it's a lot of work and it takes that much time. So I didn't shorten that from the provisions that will be there in future years. I left it at 60 days. What is collapsed is the time for the delegates to meet and elect national directors. The bylaws provide that they shall meet in early January, but they would have been seated in December. They will have about 10 days notice that they've been elected as delegates, and then they'll have to meet to elect the directors. And the date for the seating of the new board would be January 30th, which is in compliance with the court's order that the new board be seated by January 30th. So it's tight, but I believe doable. And I've had feedback from election supervisors that it's doable.
Okay. Are there any... First of all, did anybody else join the call? I heard a beep or two.
I came back. This is Rob.
Okay. And did anybody else join?
Jabari.
Hi, Jabari. Okay.
Who's on the call?
I'm sorry. Teresa, George, Pete, James, David, Ray, Rob, Carol, myself, and you, and Dan Coughlin, and our new parliamentarian, Dr. Eli Merchant. Okay. So, Carol has made the motion. It's been seconded by Pete, and Carol just motivated it. Are there any clarifying questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Rob. My concern is that I do not feel that the process has been complete. I think that the process that we're in is the facilitated compromise process. It's not clear to me that when the KPFK lab decided to vote again, that that was something that, that had any meaning after the July 24th date concluded and three out of five labs voted down draft B.
I concur.
Who's that?
George.
Well, I'll point out, this is Dave, that at the vote on the just before the 24th, Tom Irwin voted, and as soon as after he voted, he realized that he had wished he'd voted otherwise, and then he was told, but wait, there's going to be a mediation process. So at the August 4th vote, he said, well, let's hold off and see if that bears any fruit. Subsequent to the facilitated discussion in Chicago, the motion which he had announced and had been on the table and everybody in the system knew about it, coming up for the 23rd of August, subsequent to the discussion in Chicago, and everyone knew about it. It was the subject of much discussion, and that was held. I'm just curious that people, if they were so objecting to it, hadn't raised any objections previously. But, you know, there's no good answers here. It's all a matter of trying to get to the end of a process one way or another.
Yes, Teresa, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I've been reading back through some of the notes. I did see that back, I think, in May, KPFK did take, I guess, a straw poll and were 4B. But how long did it take Mr. Irwin? Is it Irwin?
Yeah.
How long
yeah.
did it take him to express that there was a serious problem with his vote?
Well, I don't know, but I'm told others spoke to him subsequently, and he felt that he had been misled as to some factors. I spoke to him a day or two later, and Because I never lobbied anybody in any of these votes. But in any event, I spoke to him a day or two later, and he clearly had some misunderstandings relative to some of the features of the bylaws. But the point is that, so the August, you know, it's up to the judge to say whether or not a vote subsequent to July 24th is valid. I think that the other issue of, well, wait a second, we didn't know about this vote was happening, or the idea that it was somehow, you know, a surprise or a maneuver. It was up to Tom Irwin. He made the motion, and everyone knew about it. So there's no surprises.
This is Ray Leslie.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I know that Dave took me on in Chicago for mentioning some of what's happening in KPFK, although I hear people do that about BA all the time. But so I'll go on a limb again, saying that based on what I heard, I mean, since you brought his name, that he had said when he voted that unless he moved forward, he would vote for B.
Unless he moved forward? No, I don't understand.
Unless there was satisfaction during the negotiation, mediation in Chicago, over that, at that point, he didn't know it was Chicago. Actually, that was kind of a loaded statement, because if two individuals tried to convince me, and I said to the two of them that if they cannot get to agree, I will vote for the first one, that almost tells the first one not to negotiate in good faith. So I kind of worry about that process. But anyway,
that's only the people in the process.
I'm sorry, David. David, let's let Ray finish.
I do believe that the point that Rob was making, which is very important, is that I personally believe that the vote was not legal, because the judge said specifically that he wanted to have the answer by the 24th, and I've sent a motion to that effect. To the board earlier. But the point he was making is that the board was involved in a concerted, serious effort to find an alternative, not only from a legal point of view, but from a consensual point of view. And that's what mediation is about, that something we could live with, not just something that where you win by the skin of your teeth, and then we at logjam after. But something we could all live with, because we would all have contributed to it. And that is the essence of what he was saying, that there was an official process that was well on the way. And actually I questioned the reporting system that we had, because the 24 people who were there were not officially allowed to look at the stuff before it was released. And I do support George's position, Rob's position, that this is serious breach in the process, and I consider it as invalidating it.
Are there other comments about the motion?
Yeah, this is Jabari.
Okay, Jabari and Teresa. I'm sorry, Jabari, did you see to Teresa?
Yeah, I was just saying, if you go ahead.
Go ahead, Jabari.
No. Well, I think this whole process is illegal anyway. There's a presumption that the bylaws has passed, and we as a board have not made any statement that the bylaws have passed. So how are we going to be talking about issues in the bylaws when there are no official bylaws, as far as I'm concerned? So the whole process has been abrogated I don't know how many times, and for whatever reasons, and time isn't a good reason that you just decide that you're not going to follow a process and make up stuff as you go along. So this whole motion about elections is out of place, because we don't have bylaws. And since we don't have bylaws, we don't have a process by which to do anything. So until we get some official bylaws, then you can't obviously do anything predicated on an imaginary document.
Teresa.
I'm wondering if we can't do both. Can we proceed with the timeline? Can we proceed with the bylaws as if they're passed? And can we still proceed with the diversity issue? Now, I don't know whether I'm for what Ray proposed or whether we take it to an attorney or what, but I'm just wondering if we can maybe think out of the box and do both.
Can you say that again, Teresa?
I'm wondering if we can't do both, if we can't start with the timeline, go with B. I mean, if we consider that the bylaws are passed, then we have an amendment process, and we could create an amendment that would insert the diversity information into the bylaws. If we don't consider that the bylaws are passed, can we possibly entertain the possibility of considering them passed and create some sort of structure to continue the mediation process so we can add to or, you know, whatever we need to do in regard to diversity?
Teresa, the whole point is that they're not passed. You can't be going around saying you consider them passed. What is actually being passed? They either are passed or not passed.
Well, I think
so
there's some difference of opinion as to whether they're passed.
Right. Exactly. So that's exactly right. The point. So you just can't go around pretending stuff to be in place. You have to put in a process, and then you have to do it. If you don't do it, it's not done.
Let me suggest to you that there are people, and I put myself in this group, who believe that the terms of the settlement agreement have been met, and that therefore bylaws have been passed. And then there are other people who feel that the bylaws haven't been passed because of the judge's ruling on July 14th and their interpretation of what that ruling meant. So clearly we have a difference of opinion on whether or not the bylaws have been passed. I think it's also pretty obvious that the motion that is on the table now that we're addressing and we'll need to vote on at some point in this conference call, the motion before us rests on the assumption that the bylaws have passed. Clearly, if you don't agree with that assumption, I'm not telling anybody how to vote, but, you know, if you don't agree with that assumption, you might not vote in favor of that of that motion. But we know we have a disagreement about the interpretation as to whether or not the bylaws have passed. And I don't know that it helps us at this point in this call to keep repeating that some people think it passed and some didn't, and some don't think it passed.
This is Carol.
Yeah.
I agree that there is a disagreement as to whether we have or have not adopted bylaws. And so I think we need to bring the issue to a head by voting on the motion. And if the motion fails, then I will ask the judge for a ruling that the bylaws have passed. And I'm assuming that if the motion passes, then someone else will ask the judge for a ruling that the bylaws did not pass. But I think it's fruitless for us to debate whether the bylaws did or didn't pass. We need the judge to tell us. So I would, without further ado, like to call the question.
Well, first of all.
Yeah. Gerard.
I mean,
let me just say that the question was called, but can I ask that we give, you know, a few more minutes for people to raise their concerns and voice their opinions?
Okay.
Thank you. Jabari?
We're the board of directors. And if we as the duly, you know, appointed people who are supposed to set the direction of this organization can't sit together and define a set of rules and define a clearly understood process for getting to a result, how can we expect anyone else within this organization to do likewise? I mean, this is it should have been a really simple issue. And the only reason people are claiming that the bylaws are passed is because they are promoting a process that only seems to be accepted by them and isn't clearly stated and open for a clear scrutiny of the itemization of things that have to be done in order to claim that the process has been officially passed. And that's what people seem like you're just running away from saying, here is the process, and we completed all of these elements in the process. And because we have completed all of these elements, then the bylaws have passed. That's what you're not doing. And until you do that, there's never going to be any legitimacy to this process because you make it up as you go along.
Well, again, if I could jump in here again. The process that was laid out in the settlement agreement was that 2/3 of the interim Pacifica National Board, and 3 out of 5 of the presently seated labs needed to vote on the proposed document, proposed bylaws. That has happened. So therefore, that's why I reached the conclusion that I believe the bylaws have passed. So the process was very well defined and very clear in the settlement agreement, and I think it has been met.
2/3 of the board of directors did vote for it for draft B. So how can you say that?
Well, the ruling of the court said it. That's why I'm saying it.
And 3 of the 5 labs didn't vote for the for draft B.
Well, they did. So
within the time set by the court.
Leslie? Yeah, I'm sorry. Who was
James?
George and who else?
In the time set by the court, Leslie.
I'm sorry, George, and then who else wanted to
speak?
James. Okay, George, go on.
I'm asking, was it within the time set by the court?
The third vote for in favor of draft B came after that July 23rd date. That is true. Was that George?
Yes, my question.
James?
Okay, my question is, are we to expect now that the other four labs will have another vote? On the language? Is that what we're to understand?
Yes, because, Carol.
Because L.A. Had a vote after the fact?
Is this a
moving target? I just need some clarity.
Right. Carol?
May I?
Yes.
I think that's not the case, James. There are two reasons why I think it's not the case. The first one is that, of course, any lab that wanted to call a renewed vote or a motion to reconsider their previous vote has had an opportunity to do so, and they haven't done it.
Well, they could today.
But the second reason, I'll finish and then,
okay.
The second reason is that upon the vote of the third lab, I mean, they were voting seriatim. First we had KPFA and KPFT, and then we had WPFW, and then we had WBAI, and finally we had KPFK. And once the third lab approved the bylaws, I don't think anybody can undo it. Now, the court could say differently, and I think that essentially we have to take this vote today so that we have something to go to the court with. But I don't think that once the bylaws have been adopted, they can be unadopted by the vote of any one of the 6 bodies that had previously voted.
Well, by extension, then, what you just said is you're making our argument, or you're making the argument that Rob made, and that is the vote that occurred in L.A. after the fact shouldn't have changed the outcome, the original outcome.
No, I don't agree. I think that they brought a renewed motion to pass the bylaws.
Well,
and when they passed it, they were adopted.
Well,
when they previously rejected it, they weren't adopted, so they were free to vote again.
Then your argument for the other four labs to come back again now to change their vote was not very strong.
No, I think it was compelling, so we just disagree.
Okay,
James, let James finish.
Sorry.
Okay. I think under the circumstances, my concern is that the process is still open. I don't agree with the vote happening after the fact. I think that it kind of puts things in, it almost is unfair, and that's what I'm trying to lift. It's unfair to the other labs. It's unfair to the process, and I think that's what I'm hearing from Rob. I think that's what I'm hearing from George, and I'm also feeling that way. So at this point, I would vote in opposition to your motion, but we'll get to a vote in a second.
Marion Barry.
Okay. Hi, Marion.
Leslie, what's the motion?
Okay, it was Carol's motion that had been sent and I believe it was faxed to you on setting an election time frame. Did you get that?
I think I saw it, yeah.
Okay.
A motion. Okay.
Leslie, can I say something else again?
Yes.
This is Rob.
Yes.
Again, because I don't want to get confused with Tom Irwin from KPFK's mental states, my position is that the judge was very clear that the labs, after the board's vote was interpreted as passing, the labs had until July 24th to vote. 3 out of 5 of the labs voted by July 24th against draft B. My understanding then is that came off the table, and what we did as a board, went into the process of a facilitated compromise, and that's where we are now. There was nothing that was written any place that said that we went into some kind of penalty overtime, and then the first lab that reversed its vote could change the position. If it seems to me that it's not going to pass legal scrutiny, that one lab can just vote to change its votes, and again, it's a 12-11 vote, and that changes the process, and that overrides the process in which we, the board, were in. My sense is that we, the board, should complete the facilitated compromise and expedite it, and then the board should vote on the language, and then the lab should be able to vote on it again, and that's the appropriate way to go through things. I also want to agree strongly with what Javari said, that one of the reasons we've got problems is because we've changed the process of doing the bylaws time after time after time after time as it suits certain members of the board. And I think at this point it's very important that the 11 board members that went to Chicago to participate in the facilitation be allowed to complete that process. We can do it quickly. We can add people to the committee that's doing the language. But I do not think that there is any basis for assuming that the additional vote by one lab or other labs after 3 out of 5 of the labs voted draft B down is valid. It doesn't supersede the process of the board to go through the facilitated compromise.
This is Teresa.
Leslie, is Ray?
Okay, I have Ray and then Teresa.
Put me in a queue.
Okay, I'd like to read that sentence that from the court transcript that maybe would enlighten people more clearly and certainly people listening. Mm-hmm. So I'll read it. It's just a short sentence. It's from the court, the judge. Local advisory boards, we shall convene special meetings in their respective local advisory board, of their respective local advisory boards, not later than July 23rd, to vote on draft B as to those portions concerning the number and manner of the election of local and national boards, and shall transmit to the Foundation Secretary the result of those votes no later than July 24, 2003. My point is that the only way for this not to be binding, KPFK or any other local advisory board would have to request an extension and obtain an extension from the judge to do so, and it was not done. So to me, this is a clear language that says you do the vote no later than the 23rd, and I want the result, the secretary to have the result no later than the 24th. And the actual retake of the second vote took place 1 month exactly after the first one.
Carol, this is Dave. Put me on the list, please.
I have Teresa, Marion, and then David.
My question is this. Why did we give the labs until the 23rd?
Right.
No, excuse me. Correction. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time collecting my thoughts. Why did we call the meeting in Chicago? I thought the reason why we called the meeting into Chicago, and especially the reason why we added 10 more people, was so we could find agreement with something on the local advisory board. We added the 10 so we could find agreement. Well, KPFK did find agreement with KPFA and also with KPFT when they agreed to B. So they did what we wanted, but in a different way. So another thing that is on my mind a lot is, and the people have said, you know, will we have a bingo? Now we have a bingo. Because of the settlement, we have been told to come up with a certain number of hoops to jump through in a certain way to get bylaws. And to me, I look at it as, you know, I want to have bylaws, you know, and if we have to jump through the hoops, that's kind of an arbitrary thing that we have found not to be so easy. I think it's hard to get five different listening areas on the same page, but once we have accomplished the fact that three of the five are on the same page, can't we celebrate that? I'm still saying that we ought to start with B and still empower this group of people to continue, you know, somehow. Thank you.
David, this is Ray.
Okay.
I would agree to anything that doesn't tacitly or implicitly or explicitly recognize that actually, if you look at the proposal that I sent, number seven, paragraph number seven specifically, states that the board would look at an expeditious schedule for election. So we recognize the importance of doing so, but that's predicated upon the fact that we haven't recognized the fact that this is passed. So any process that de facto says that it's passed for example, Carol sent a proposal that I find very interesting and I can support most of it. But it's predicated on the assumption that the bylaws were passed, and therefore this is like a flower on the wall, you know, this is not the main topic any longer. And in this circumstance it would be extremely useful. But I support what Rob said. To me, this is number one, that they were not passed because the second vote came too late. Number two, there was a process that we engaged in that has, to me, not only moral value, but legal spending, and that was the official posture of the foundation.
I have Marion and then David.
Okay, hi there, everybody.
Anyway,
I want to speak. I've been on the phone back and forth about this against the motion. The KPFK's vote was illegal. The judge was very specific. Said the labs had to vote one way or another by July 23rd. And here we come 1 month later with a lot of arm twisting, a lot of lobbying, a lot of other things going on. They met and voted by one vote to reverse themselves. That was clearly illegal. And so Carol and others who think it was legal ought to not do that, because it's clearly illegal. Plus the fact we went to Chicago. We spent a lot of time.
And money
in Chicago. I think we made a lot of progress. A lot of progress.
Mm-hmm.
Much hand-wringing and a lot of other stuff. And here we are now trying to reconsider the fact that this illegal meeting is binding on us. It is not binding on us. And Carol and others ought to know that. She has had legal training. The judge's order was very specific. It wasn't confusing. It said by July 23rd you vote and let the secretary of the board know no later than July 24th. And that is as clear as spring brook water. And so, therefore, we ought to vote this motion down. I'm just shocked that Carol even make it based on her knowledge of the law.
I have David on my list.
Yeah, you know, I think that we're all pretty shocked at this process. It's September 3rd. What year is it? 2003. I'm pretty shocked that we're still talking about we need to take more time on this. I agree we need to take more time on it. And if we're taking time amongst people, frankly, that we're acting, all of us, in good faith, then we might get somewhere. But that's just not the case. And
David, don't say that.
I'm saying it. And
that's
the fact
true.
Is, well,
Marion,
you know.
Everybody's acting in good
Excuse me. The fact is, how do you tell when where there's a black hole in outer space? You can't point to it, you can't see it, but you can sure note its gravitational effects. And we got some gravitational effect that's preventing us from moving forward. I'm determined to get us to move forward. And the fact is that every time there's the slightest bit of a potential problem, it's exacerbated, it's expanded upon, it's stretched out, it's discussed and hashed out and used to create more delay. And I'm just fed up with it. At this point, I agree with a lot of what's been said on both sides of this. I mean, look, if the judge says that vote's illegal, then Carol's motion is moot. But if the judge says it's legal, we darn well better be on the way and taking care of business. And I see no problem with agreeing to a timeline of elections based on the provisional assessment of, you know, or rather based on the court's ruling. Now, my question is, when is the court ruling going to come down? But assuming the judge rules within the next week or so, then we should darn well be ready to get out the gate with it. And if he rules yes, and then we wait another 2-3 weeks, then those forces which seek for us to have delay will then succeed once again. But if we have this in, on the side already decided, saying, look, in the event the court rules that the July 24th deadline was merely a pro forma deadline, it was not really a critical issue, the point was to get the three lab votes, and if the court rules that that everything is kosher, then fine, we go forward. And we'll have a lot of angry people, we'll have a lot of division that we'll have to deal with, a lot of issues, there's no question about it, and I feel terrible about that. I feel even worse if this foundation went belly up because we're sitting screwing around on this stuff. So I say let's move forward, let's get the process ready in the event the judge rules in favor of the motion to approve the adoption of the bylaws. And if the judge says next, then fine, then we go back and we can spend another year hiring psychologists.
Dave, you want to start that earlier. Can I say something, Leslie?
Yes.
I understand Dave's point. I don't agree with it, though. I think that particularly considering the context which in which those discussions have been taking place with the judge, I mean, the judge made a decision recently, and I think that the people who oppose or disagree with that decision were at a serious disadvantage. We had two individuals, not only that, two attorneys, and both representing the same point of view, are presenting both sides. And I submit to you that if the same situation occurred, where we already agreed with that, and we presented that something like, you know, just on the benevolent side, you know, they voted for it, but we just want to see just in case you might be seeing it otherwise. I think it would put us in a serious disadvantage. Now, to the point that you made about science, I do agree that you can infer presence of a body there by the wobbling of a visible one. However, there's also in science a different explanation for one phenomenon. And so I wouldn't infer necessarily that the conclusion is the right one.
This is Carol.
Yes, Carol.
I'm not an attorney. I just want to make that clear.
You've had legal training.
I passed the bar.
That's what he said, legal training.
That's what I said, legal training.
No, actually, I think I just wanted to make certain that, Ray, if you said there were two attorneys making a point, I wanted to be sure that everybody knows.
Okay.
Okay.
I passed the California bar. I do not practice law.
Yes, that's correct.
You've had legal training.
Yes, of course. I don't pass the bar without having legal training.
But it's funny. Those was a legal training role. It's only pointed out when it's disagreed with. I mean, if you thought I was really a lawyer, then maybe you guys would start taking my advice, but that ain't going to happen this year.
You're just wrong.
I'd like to call the question.
Okay, Kim.